सेवायाम नाम रूपाभ्याम यादु भी सहफंदवा भवतो दर्शनम यारहि ऋषिकानाम इवेशतु। As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. Neyam sobhishyate tatra यथेदानीम गदाधरा त्वत्पदाय अंकिता भाति स्वलक्षणा विलक्षिताय। O Gadadhar, Sri Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. We are reading this evening from the 8th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The prayers of Queen Kunti unto Lord Sri Krishna. The Pandavas endured terrible injustices and great sufferings as well. Bhishma, while laying on his deathbed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira and reflecting within his own mind about the inconceivable will of the Lord. He explained that the Pandavas were the very emblems of Dharma. Headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, who throughout his entire life never even in his mind thought of any sinful activity. No thought even ever could arise within his pure mind other than that of pure truth and goodness. He was such a forgiving soul that even after being cheated, persecuted by his enemies, he was still always their well-wisher. Such a pure heart. How is it that someone like this could be cheated, humiliated? He lost his kingdom. He lost his reputation. He was banished to the forest for long, long years. And people were hunting for his life to kill him. These appears to be the reactions of terrible, sinful karma. The law of nature explains that as ye sow, so shall ye reap. That for every action, there is an equal reaction. Bhishma was thinking, how is it possible that such sinful, sinless people underwent so much suffering and hardship? Bhishma Dev's conclusion was, this is all taking place by the power of Kala, or time. And time is being managed eternally by the controller of all controllers, Parameshwara, Sri Krishna. And whatever Krishna does is perfect. No one can understand the inconceivable will of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Bhishma is one of the Mahajans, one of the 12 greatest authorities of truth. And he is explaining that myself, even Brahma, Shiva, and the greatest of the gods, none of us could fathom to understand the inconceivable will of Krishna. But one thing we know for sure is that Krishna only does what is best for his devotee. We can have faith in that principle. Whether health or disease, success or failure, or even a violent, untimely death comes into the life of a devotee, we should know it is all auspicious. It has nothing to do simply with the actions and reactions of karma. Krishna is eternally seeing to the ultimate needs of the soul of his devotee. There is no such thing as good or bad for one who is remembering Krishna with devotion. Everything is all good. And to have this faith is Krishna consciousness. Who have this faith under any situation and circumstance is the perfection of life. To make lots of money has nothing to do with success in life. Because after all, whether you are a multimillionaire or whether you are begging in the street, the most you can eat is 3 or 4 japatis. And whether you are sleeping on a nice big bed or whether you're sleeping on the street, once you fall asleep, the pleasure is the same. People are mad to acquire more and more and more money, prestige, and comforts, but none of it bring them any real happiness or perfection in life. Human form of life is meant to awaken this complete faith in the will of Krishna. To undergo great tragedy and with folded palms to say, Krishna, thank you, you are my Lord. That is the perfection of life. To be able to do that is the ultimate wealth in all of creation. Tateno kampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vibhagam. Hridvagva purvir vidadam namaste jivetya mukta pade sadhaya bhak. This is a prayer spoken by Lord Brahma. What is the qualification for liberation from all suffering in this world? That when you are put in a condition of suffering and failure, if with a grateful heart you can say, Krishna, thank you. This is your mercy. I deserve millions of times worse. Karma palam. But you are reducing it to the bare minimum just to show me your kindness. A person who can do that alone is a candidate for mukti or liberation. And of course, the mukti that Lord Brahma is talking about is bhakti, entrance into the divine Leela of the Lord. So therefore, we do not measure our progress in life by any material standards. The yardstick to measure our progress in this human form of life is how much we are willing to gratefully accept every situation as the mercy of God and to remember Him with love in all circumstances. Bhaktivinod Thakur prayed,
Maro bira kobi jo icha toha nityata sa prati tuhuna picha.
That my Lord, if you want, you can protect me. And if you want, you can kill me right now. I am your servant. You can deal with me in any way you please. I am a puppet in your hands, and you can pull any string or you can cut any string as you so desire. I have no independent existence except remembering you, serving you, and loving you. And if you love someone, love is unconditional. Love is not according to what pleases me. Love is according to what pleases the beloved. If it pleases you, my Lord, to put me in a suffering situation, that is my great fortune. Thank you very much. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Ashlisya va padaratam panashtumam adarshanam maramahatam karotu va yathatata tabadatatu lampato mat prana natastu se evana praha. My dear Sri Govinda, I am your servant. If you want, you can embrace me with your loving arms. If you want, you can trample upon me with your lotus feet. If you want, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please. I am your servant unconditionally. This consciousness is success. This consciousness is progress. Queen Kunti, she had to suffer far greater than her own children. The Pandavas were cast into the forest where there were terrible Rakshasas, Hidimba, Bakasura, threatening to kill them, plus their dacoits and wild animals. What to speak of seeing her own son, Bhima, for 12 years, practically starving with no food. For a mother to see a child suffer is hundreds of times more severe than the suffering that the child experiences. I remember when I was a little child, when I would be very naughty. My father, to punish me, he would say, he would take a little belt, a little whip, and he'd say, now I have to teach you a lesson. And he said, you should know this first, that this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And then he'd whip me, and then I'd cry. And I think, what nonsense. How does it hurt him more than it hurts me? And I cried for maybe 2-3 minutes, and then I would usually do the same thing again. But one day, after I cried for 2-3 minutes, about an hour later,
I happened to see my father in his room. He was still crying. And then I realized that for him to cause pain to me was hundreds of times more painful to him than it was for me. But it was necessary to do because he loved me, to teach me the right path. In the same way, when Krishna punishes his devotee, it is for our good. It is because he loves us. And in regard to Kunti, Maharani, while she was sitting in the palace of Hastinapur, thinking about her children in that condition, we cannot understand how much suffering and anxiety she had to undergo. But that suffering was not material. It was spiritual. Paradukaduki. The great souls literally suffer when they see other people suffering. They don't care about their own happiness or distress, but they feel pain to see the pains of others. And then the battle of Kurukshetra took place. And Kunti had to witness so many of her loved ones who were killed. And after all this, the Pandavas were established as the kings. All their enemies were removed from this world. And she was again together with her beloved children. With all prosperity, all wealth, all the luxuries of the king of the planet Earth, all the power of all the armies, all protection and servants all around. But now it is time for Krishna to leave. And Kunti is revealing her heart to the Lord. Yes, Krishna, now we have this big castle to live in. Now we're all sitting on golden thrones. Now we're protected by armies. Now my whole family is together again, safe and sound. But if you leave, it is all worthless. It is all useless. Without you, Krishna, it is all like a body without a soul. Vipada santu tashashva tatra tatra jagat kuru. She said, let all those calamities come again and again. Because in that distress, we're always thinking of you. We're always remembering you. And in remembering you, we never have to see the face of death again. Kunti Mataji is here revealing the most beautiful and highest truths. That without Krishna, nothing has any beauty or meaning to a devotee. We don't care for wealth, we don't care for prestige, we don't care for comfort, we don't care for health, we don't care for life itself without Krishna. Therefore, the great devotees of the Lord, when they are offered benedictions, what is it that they always ask? There's a story in the Bhagavatam of Dhruva Maharaj. he fought against the Yakshas, who were the descendants of Kuvera. And Kuvera asked him, please stop killing them. Even though they killed his own brother Uttam. So out of respect for Kuvera, he stopped the battle. And Kuvera was so pleased. He's the treasurer of the Devatas. We cannot calculate what he has to offer as a benediction. All the wealth of all the heavenly planets is under his control. And he said to Dhruva, I will give you anything you desire. And Dhruva asked for only one blessing, that I never forget Krishna, that I always remember Krishna, and that I can always be engaged in the service, not of Krishna, but of his devotees. This is the standard of high consciousness. That we understand that this world is a dreary void. Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha pravrishayatam sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahename. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this whole world with all of its pleasures and all of its opulences and all of its forms of entertainment, it is all a dreary void. Sunyayatam. It is like an empty desert bereft of the remembrance of Govinda. When we remember Krishna, Krishna is with us. When we forget Krishna, everything in our life is spoiled. Kunti here is explaining, I don't care for this great kingdom of Hastinapur. I don't even care for my own children, the Pandavas. I don't care for the Vrishnis or the Yadus. Without you, Krishna, it is all a dreary void. This is the real standard of human civilization. To understand that the greatest wealth is to always remember Krishna. And the greatest poverty is to forget Krishna. So in this world, we all have so many responsibilities. Know that your home, if it's not centered in Krishna, if the family is not coming together to hear, to chant, and to remember Krishna, then your home is like a deep, dark well where there is no water. It has no meaning. It has no substance. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed that when I come home after working through the day and I see the beautiful murti of Krishna in my house and I see my family offering prasad to the Lord, hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord, I realize that my house is Goloka. It is the spiritual world. It is Vrindavan. To cultivate these feelings of separation from Krishna, as being described here by Mother Kunti, is the greatest fortune for every human being. We must establish the standard within our life, where everything is judged on the basis of how it is bringing us closer to Krishna. Krishna says, tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta, that wherever my devotees are gathered together to chant my names, I am present in that place. The safest place in all of creation, the most auspicious place in all the universe, is that where devotees are coming together to share and exchange their devotion to Krishna by chanting his holy names. The consciousness that is established through this brings about a perception of this world where, like Lord Brahma prays, we can welcome every situation as the love and the gift of God. Chanting the names of the Lord and hearing his glories in the assembly of sadhus develops faith. And that faith can carry us through all obstacles joyfully. Guru Maharaj used to tell a story of this type of faith. He explained that there was a king and he had a favorite minister. And his minister was a great devotee of the Lord. And whatever happened in the king's life, whenever he would consult the minister would tell the same thing. This is Krishna's mercy. Everything that happened, he only had one explanation. This is Krishna's mercy. Be grateful. So one day the king was hunting. And while he was hunting, he accidentally cut his finger off. And he was very much upset. Very sorry. So he went to his minister and he said, "Why has this happened to me?" And the minister said, "Because it is Krishna's mercy." "What nonsense, Krishna's mercy, that my thumb was cut off. You know how painful this is? You are blaspheming the king." He arrested him, put him in chains, and threw him in jail. Meanwhile, there was a lower minister who was always envious of that minister. And he became the king's personal advisor. And he was telling the kings that this man, do you know how he insulted you? You should torture him very bad by keeping him in a very dark, deep jail cell. And the king said, "Yes, you are correct." So the chief minister would always be at the side of the king. So one day the king went hunting again. And while he was hunting, a band of tantric dacoits captured the king and his minister. And they brought him into the jungle where they had a temple of a particular goddess that they worshipped. And every fortnight they would offer this goddess a human sacrifice by cutting his head with various mantras and offering the blood to the goddess with the idea that they would get great powers. So they took the king and they told him, "You are going to be the offering for the goddess."
He was very much afraid. And they gave him a bath. And then they put all nice scented oils all over his body. And they put all nice silk clothing on him and put jewelry and garlands. And the king was in terrible anxiety. He was trembling in fear. And then they brought him before the goddess. And they put his head on the chopping block. And the priest came with a big, sharp sword. And for about 1 hour, they were just chanting all the mantras with the sword over his head. And then it came time, the final mantra, where now, O goddess, we will sever the head of this human being as an offering to you. And just as the sword was coming down to his head, the king was trembling in fear when the priest stopped. He happened to notice that one of his fingers were missing. He said, "This person cannot be offered to the goddess because we have to offer a whole human being. He's not a whole human being. He doesn't have a finger. So find someone else." So who was with the king? His chief minister. He had all his fingers. So they put him down and they chopped off his head. And they said to the king, "You are useless. Get out. Chalo." So the king went home and he started to think that if I did not cut my finger off, I would have got my head cut off. So actually, it really was Krishna's mercy that I cut my finger off. My minister was correct. So the king personally went down to the prison cell and opened it up and fell at the feet of his minister and said, "You are correct. I have committed a great offense to you. It was Krishna's mercy. Krishna knows past, present, and future. Krishna knew, according to my karma, I deserve to get my head chopped off, but he prepared me so it would just be my finger." The minister said, "Yes. That is correct." And the king said, "So I accept that this was Krishna's mercy, but I have one question for you. If everything that happens is Krishna's mercy, then why, although you didn't do anything wrong, did you have to sit in this prison cell in chains for so many long weeks?" The minister said, "This is really Krishna's mercy. Because if I wasn't in this prison cell, I would have been with you on that hunting excursion. They would have chopped my head off. So you must have this faith that for a devotee, whatever happens is for his ultimate good. It is always Krishna's mercy. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesher junatishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudani maya. He is within the heart of every living being, directing their wanderings. And for a devotee, mahatmanastu mam parata daivim prakritim ashrita. A devotee, Krishna is taking special consideration to orchestrate that devotee's life in such a way to bring that devotee closer to his lotus feet. You have seen an orchestra in Western music, there is, in classical music, there is orchestra. And in an orchestra, there may be 100 people playing instruments together. And they're in different sections. There's 10 people playing violins. And then there's some people playing trumpets, and some people playing flutes. And then there's a section where they're playing big drums. And then there's a section where they're playing cymbals. And the whole orchestra is, there's a conductor who has a stick. And everyone's watching him. And when he points to the violins start playing. And when he points to the trumpets start playing. And when he points to Nrsimha Baba, he starts playing his flute. Wherever he points, they start playing. And when he goes like this, they go fast. And when he goes like this, they go very slow. And when he goes like this, they stop. The whole orchestra is completely being orchestrated by the conductor. And it's all for one beautiful, harmonious sound. Krishna says in Gita, Mayadhyakshena prakriti sugyate sacharacharam hetu nanini kontaya jagad viparivartate. That this whole material nature is working under my direction. This entire creation is like an orchestra and Krishna is the conductor. For a materialistic person, according to his pious or impious activities, Krishna just waves the wand to the laws of karma and they all act upon him. But for a devotee, Krishna is personally orchestrating the entire creation just for his spiritual advancement. Whatever is good for you, that's what will come. Krishna the conductor, he points his stick and someone comes and insults you. You are a rascal. Points his stick to somebody else and they come to misunderstand whatever you've said and blaspheme and criticize you. To someone else they come and praise you and flatter you. He points his stick at a little germ in your body and he makes you terribly sick. Then he may make you better. Heat, cold, everything to the minutest germ and atom is being under the control of Krishna. And for a devotee, daivim prakriti mashrita, everything is working under his direction just for the perfect purification of your consciousness. To ultimately bring you to surrendering utterly at his lotus feet. And a devotee has faith that whatever happens is for my good. My responsibility is simply to gratefully remember Krishna and act according to his instruction. His instruction is coming through the spiritual master, guru, and the great sadhus. Therefore, in our life, as long as we are simply living in harmony with the word of Krishna, guru, and sadhus, the word of the sadhu is the word of the shastra, then we have nothing to fear. Let anything happen, we have complete faith that this is Krishna's love. He can give me everything, he can take everything away. It is all his to do as he likes. Queen Kunti had this faith. But there's only one terrible tragedy that a devotee fears,
and that is to forget Krishna. To forget Krishna, to be apart from Krishna's devotees, is the only fear of an intelligent person. We do not even fear death. Antakali chamame vasmaran matva kalevaram. Because if we remember Krishna at the time of death, we attain eternal life with Krishna. Therefore, in all circumstances, we must know that the greatest poverty is to forget Krishna, and the greatest wealth is to remember Krishna with faith. To remember Krishna with faith. That whatever he does is perfect. He is the reservoir of all love. Whatever he does is his perfect love, inconceivable love for our ultimate welfare. I remember many years ago, I was sick. And a doctor, three doctors told me that you will die within 6 months. Your disease cannot be cured. So first I was thinking, I was very young. I was about 28 years old at the time. They said, guaranteed you will die no later than 6 months. Three doctors, and they were all famous. So I began to think of Maharaj Parikshit. He only had 7 days. They're giving me a long life. And he was grateful. He was thanking Krishna that he could utilize these 7 days sitting at the feet of Shukadev Goswami hearing the Bhagavatam. I was meditating that death could come at any moment, but I'm being warned that I have 6 months. So what is the use of all the things of this world to me now? What is the value of my family to me now? What is the value of course, at that time I was a brahmachari. What was the value of my dhoti or the house I was living in or the tree I was sleeping under? Nothing has any meaning when you know you're going to die. The only thing that has meaning is, can I take complete shelter of Krishna like Maharaj Parikshit did? Then my life is perfect. But I didn't die. That was about 25 years or 15 years ago. Of course, I will die. But I was thinking how wonderful it is that I became so sick, deathly sick. How wonderful it is that that doctor gave me such a awakening by telling me you are dead. How wonderful mercy Krishna is. The fact is, any situation, however pleasurable or tragic it is, if you are sincerely aspiring on the path of Sanatana Dharma and Bhakti, Krishna will make every arrangement for you to advance.
So to cultivate that faith and that remembrance in Krishna is the greatest wealth, the greatest purpose, and the ultimate goal of life.
Tasmad Bharata Saravatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavyas Kirti Davyascha Smaratavyas Chechatavayam.
What is the duty of a man about to die? What is the ultimate occupation for all humanity? To always hear about, chant, and remember Krishna. This is the standard of human civilization. Therefore, meetings such as tonight are so valuable. It is the basis of spirituality. When we come together to hear the word of God, to be in the assembly of sadhus, bhaktas, and to chant his name, it establishes Krishna within our life. And if we regularly hear, regularly chant, regularly associate with sadhus and serve them,
Srinvatam Sukata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana Hridyantastohya Bhadani Vidunoti Suritsitam Nasta Praishu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki.
By regularly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and serving the devotees of the Lord, all impurities, all illusions are cleansed from our heart. And pure faith, pure trust, pure devotion is established within our heart. This is what Queen Kunti is saying. That my whole kingdom, if I don't have the association of you, Krishna, and your devotees, it's all worthless. What is the greatest way we can serve the devotees? By inspiring them to chant the holy name of God. What is the greatest welfare work? What is the greatest charity in all of creation? To inspire a person to remember Krishna lovingly by chanting his holy name. In this age of Kali Yuga, Nam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma. It is the sublime means by which we can always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. It is the sublime means where people from all castes, from all nationalities, from all races, from all educational or income categories, they could all come together on this platform that we are no longer relating to each other except that we are all part of Krishna. And we have all come together to merge our consciousness as one beautiful vibration for the pleasure of Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this wonderful process, which is the prime benediction and the supreme wealth in this whole creation. The chance to gather together with the bhaktas to chant the holy names of Krishna. I would like to show you how Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya taught this process of Harinam Sankirtan. Tonight, as I am chanting, everyone with folded palms should very attentively, with great humility, allow the nectarine name of Krishna to enter through our ears into our hearts. In India, people go like this, Namaskar. This is a mudra, which is humbling yourself before the Lord in the heart of another living being. This means with gratefulness and with humility, we are welcoming Krishna through his name into our hearts. Everyone, please, like this. And as you are chanting, you lift your arms. Like Draupadi, when she realized that only Krishna could save her, she reached her arms up. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. When we chant the holy names with our arms raised, this is not just some fashionable dance. We are with all sincerity surrendering our lives at the feet of the holy name and reaching out for his causeless mercy. After this kirtan, Kardama Muniji will translate into Hindi.